Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, America and around the world. The SRI Label Group, Wildlife Educational Services, and Blog Talk Radio presents Larry and Cheryl Batson discovering our wild world and the music of the SRI Label Group. It's time for animal tracks, wildlife conversation, and great music. Join us and enjoy Larry Batson's Wild World Animal Tracks.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. We share this studio with my lovely wife, Cheryl. Say hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl. Hello.
We've got a great show planned for everyone. A little bit, Travis Pike, a musician, songwriter, does it all. I mean, he's a complete renaissance
man.
Everything. I can't believe it. And as always, the SRI Label Group is our underwriter for Wild World's Animal Tracks on Blog Talk Radio. The SRI Label Group is for people that love all music, rock, jazz, blues, country. It's all there, artists in their classic recordings. Best of ELO, Little Richard Live, Chambers Brothers, Hall & Oates. Catalog of thousands of recordings available for download or just to listen to. Explore an amazing musical collection at the best musical site, the SRI Label Group. Check it out today. SRIRecords.com.
Cantarle a toda mi gente un ritmo bien diferente que se baila como es.
Allá entre amigos cantando con la tambora, timbal y la tumbadora, Carlitos, Richie y Daniel. ¿Qué?
Ahora que esta morena llegó, la rumba se ha puesto buena.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz, and you're listening to my friends Cheryl and Larry Batson on Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk Radio.
Our guest this week, Travis Pike, is a publisher, scholar, storyteller, poet, animator, singer, songwriter, author, screenwriter, filmmaker, actor, producer, director. We're traveling on this musical journey from 1964 to 1974 on this week's edition of Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk Radio. They knew what I meant. Hello, Travis.
Tongue tungled up there a minute there, Larry.
Well, you know, you're a public speaker, too. You know that. You know, the difference, though, is people that don't do that, they get all miscombobulated after the fact, and they wouldn't know how to recover. Isn't that right, Cheryl?
I have no idea. I'm always discombobulated.
So where are you calling from, Travis?
I'm calling from Otherworld Cottage in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, we have quite a few listeners on the West Coast, and it's great to have you on our show. You know, I was reading your resume. I got tired just reading it, all these different things that you've done. That's pretty exciting.
Well, you know, out here they call me a Hollywood multi-hyphenate. And the first three are usually son of a, you know. And then you go from there.
There you go.
Yeah.
I have one question. Can you cook? You can do all these things?
I cook. Actually, I taught my daughter and my wife to cook.
Oh, no.
there's a reason. My wife is a sweetheart, and she's from Tannersville, Virginia. And she lived on a farm. And the only way she ever learned to cook meat, to cook a steak or something, was to first turn it into shoe leather and then slam it on a plate. Well, when I was in the Navy, I was entertaining on wards. I was a patient in the Portsmouth Naval Hospital. And I was entertaining on the wards, and the Red Cross asked me if I would go entertain on the locked ward. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, I'm pretty cool. I guess I could handle that. And they said, well, don't worry. There'll be a corpsman there with you. Yeah, he's in a cage. I'm out there on the floor with the inmates. But anyway, so I went and I did the show. It was very... You talk about discombobulating. There you go. When you put on a show, and the closest you get to a reaction is whoever the guy is walking around the room mumbling to himself, mumbles louder as he goes by you. That was kind of tough. But the guy in the cage thought I was great. And so he asked me if I wanted to come home to have a home-cooked meal with him and his wife the next day, because being a corpsman, he had the duty that night, or he'd have escaped earlier, too. Anyway, I took him up on the offer. My goodness, a home-cooked meal? Sounds great. Yeah. And when I got there, I met the sweetest lady with the cutest little daughter, and they were both just, you know, something out of a Rockwell painting or something. Yeah. Anyway, she was going to make us a steak. I don't know if it took his whole month's pay or what, but it was going to be a steak. And truly, by the time she cooked it, it was next to inedible. Really, it should have gone right to the cobbler.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I said, it was still wonderful. And mind you, I chawed down on it and made sure that I cleaned up my plate. But what I did is I said to them, can I please... Next time, I'd love to come back and cook for you. And I didn't say it nastily. I was really being, you know, very upfront and nice and polite and everything.
It's my turn.
So I came back, and I did cook for them. First, I made spaghetti. Figured you couldn't go too far off with that, but my own homemade recipe from the family. And then slowly but surely, I moved them over to steak. And by the time I got there, I had convinced them that, you know, a tiny bit of pink was not all bad.
Yeah.
And once she started it, she learned to like it. But, oh, my God. Yep. But I promise she's an absolute sweetheart. She's on the other phone, so I got to be very careful what I say. But that was – so when you say, but can I cook? The answer is I used to. But now that both my wife and daughter are great cooks, having been trained by – my favorite person. I let them do all the cooking, and they get all the credit, and they are popular with our friends.
That's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Because you get to smile and take the credit.
No, I let them take the credit because, you know, it's not always the kind of thing that they want everyone to know is that I was the one who taught them how to cook. But
yeah.
It comes up more often than you'd imagine.
Or more often than you would like.
Yeah, that too.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah, we know how you men are.
We're going to listen a little of this Travis Pike music from this remarkable collection he's put together for us on Animal Tracks right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
You got to tell us about this collection, Travis. I've got all these CDs, and there's a book involved with this as well. Tell us all about it.
Well, the good news is the book is finished, but it's being printed in the Carolinas, and I'm told I probably won't see any copies until the 4th of October.
Oh.
And that's if the creek don't rise.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh.
Can I want to tell you something about that expression. Now, you might know this being from Indiana, but the truth is the original of that statement that people believe to be the case, it could all be apocryphal, of course, but Davy Crockett was trying to get one of his friends to show up for a vote, and his friend wrote, "God willing and the creek don't rise." And for people like me from the Northeast, of course, I figured that had something to do with, you know, the water. And for my wife, whose farm had a creek right through the middle in the bottom land, if the creek rose, they didn't get to go anywhere till the creek went down. So we always thought it had to do with the river. In fact, it was if the Creek Indians don't rise.
Oh!
How's that for a tidbit of information?
Wow, that's impressive.
Learned something every day.
Oh, gosh, I learned that. You know, I think that's the second thing I learned today. I've already forgotten what the first thing. My gosh.
But I think I thought that was such an enlightenment to hear that, because I know in the Walt Disney series back when, he was out fighting Creek Indians.
Yeah.
But I never linked the two things together till I heard that version of what it meant. And that's pretty spectacular, isn't it?
Yes, it is, absolutely. Wow, I never even thought that myself. How about you, Cher?
That's great.
That's very,
okay,
very
now,
cool.
Now, back to the book for a moment.
Okay.
I wish that I could have gotten it to you on time, because the pictures on the cover and the back cover are beautiful in color. Everything inside, as you know, is black and white. But somebody said to me, that's a very busy cover. You're only supposed to have, like, just the title there, and don't overload it. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, since 2013, I recorded all these albums, right? And I'd been out of that part of the industry for most of 50 years. I'm now 74, by the way. So putting it all together, I decided to go for the very colorful, very busy, very exciting front cover and back cover, where you can actually see the Vampiros with the capes on their guitars. And I'm thrilled that I did, because I've heard nothing but great comments on how beautiful the book looks. You will get copies.
Well, how many books is this guy, Dan? It says something about what about the cover. That'd be my first question.
Well, these are the proofs, and they have mistakes in them. So you get the proof, you find all the mistakes, you hope, and you fix them all, and then you order the books. So I did all that, and that's when I heard, well, the earliest we can get them to you is October 4th. I said, this is what you call print on demand, October 4th. Okay, yeah. I'll have to keep that in mind if I want more books. So I ordered 30 for this first issue.
Go ahead.
I hope the weather doesn't mess with it at all. I hope the weather doesn't cause any trouble. We'll say that.
Well, I feel the same way. It's terrible what's happening back there. And it was, not only was it predicted accurately because we know about the previous storms, but Florence is doing just what some of the others did. If it comes in and sits there and rains, then I remember. Oh, it's probably been 20 years ago now, but there was a terrible flood, and all the livestock was drowned, and pollution was everywhere because of the farms that were all underwater. And it's happening again. Now, predictable doesn't mean you can do a heck of a lot about it. At the end of the day, no matter what people think about how wonderful we are and how great our technology is, nature does what nature does.
Yeah.
You just get in line, you know.
That's right. Well, yeah, we'll test that 100%. I mean,
we kind of live around nature.
Yeah, we pretty much live around nature, so it's like.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's nothing. People, I am more afraid of something like that happening. Where we're at, we deal with tornadoes, and those are scary. But boom, boom, there it starts, it's done, it's over, you know.
But those hurricanes came.
But those hurricanes.
And hopefully you were in the cellar when it came over, too.
We live on a hill.
We do live on a hill. And, Travis, we found over the years that the tornadoes bounce around. So if you're not on flat land,
don't brag. Because you never
know. All right, I take all that back. I don't want to.
Don't put that out there.
Well, I know. I'm originally from Boston, and I know what happens when Northeasters come ashore in the winter. I've seen people freeze-dried standing on the beach trying to watch the waves. And it's like, it's a, don't go to the beach. Don't you see this big storm coming? What the hell are you doing at the beach? Get away from the beach, you know. But
the mass.
Well, I even wrote a song about it in one of my albums. I think it's in Outside the Box, and the name of the song is Puka Puka Gaga Dudi. And basically, I don't know what you know about seamanship and oceans and stuff like that. I was in the Navy. Never got on a boat, by the way. I was flown to Germany and flown back. But the fact remains that if you cross the line, meaning the equator, in any vessel from, well, most vessels from any place, they have this ceremony they call crossing the line. And what that is everybody dresses up silly and they do silly things, and you have to sign on with King Neptune because he's the lord of the southern seas and so on. And they go through a lot of falderal. Well, in my story, it's about a guy in Boston who knows the blizzard's coming and he wants out of town, so he flies to the South Pacific. Now, he gets there and he gets in a war canoe to be taken to this island paradise that's been reserved for him. And when he gets there, there's a party on the beach. And it is King Neptune and Davy Jones and Neptune's wife, Nefertiti. No, that's not her name, a different one. Anyway, and that's the party. And he's there. When he wakes up, he's soaking in a tub and just his underpants, you know. And then, it's actually based on the real crossing the line ceremonies that the Navy still has. And many of the cruise ships have toned down versions of it. So that's kind of fun because I'm from that part of the world. Now I don't have hurricanes to speak of. I don't have blizzards to speak of. Instead, I got earthquakes.
And wildfires.
And wildfires. Yeah, they can be pretty terrible. People are always asking me, am I safe? I'm in the basin. And the interesting thing about the basin is when I came to California, I knew all about the smog, meaning I'd seen it on the news. So no way was I going to move into Los Angeles where the smog was. No, I settled in a valley outside Los Angeles, which is where all the smog went. So I learned the hard way that the basin where the smog was generated had the cleaner air. And as soon as I learned that, I moved into town. That was it. Now, the other thing is they talk about as the oceans rise, and rise they may, as long as the creeks don't, it's okay. But as the oceans rise, I'm in a place where they tell me the flooding will stop at Fox Studios. Oh, I'm only about 4 or 5 miles inland from Fox Studios, but that means the beach is going to get real close.
You guys will have beachfront property then.
Anyway, so those are those elements of our wonderful conversation. I can talk about the book if you like, but you've read it, so you'd have to say, tell me more about it, and I'd be happy to.
Oh, okay. Well, how about a tune? We'll do a tune, and we'll come back with Travis Pike.
About pollution. The thousand talks and spills until they told me it was under control. They sold me some kind of pills that made it seem that everything was fine. Until they closed the mill, and now I'm lucky to be working at all. But I'm behind on my bills. Gotta be a better way. There's gotta be a better way. They got me running like a rat in the wheel, loaded up on caffeine, working harder than ever before. Well, now it's just routine. I keep an eye out for something else, for something in between. Don't wanna get blindsided again by something unforeseen.
the status quo. In deep and unfamiliar waters, beware of dangers below. That golden shore may look real fine from here, but there may be an undertow. Sometimes you think you know what's going on. Sometimes you haven't a clue. Sometimes you can't believe a word you hear. Sometimes you know it's true. Sometimes it's nothing but the same old thing. Dressed up like something new. Sometimes I wonder if I'm losing my mind. Sometimes I wonder about you. Gotta be a better way. There's gotta be a better way.
Travis Pike on Blog Talk Radio, Odd Tales and Wonders, 1964 to 1974. Very special package. Boy, that song is honest, Travis. My gosh.
Isn't that? I have never heard it so well over the phone.
Yeah, well, you know, Blog Talk Radio. We can do it all. We can
deliver.
We can deliver sometimes, but good tunes, I'll tell you. That's so tell us how this all was put together. You don't mind.
How the album was put together?
Well, the whole thing, the book, the album.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, basically, I have a much younger brother, Adam, and I even wrote my mother a thank you note for making him come along, but he's 22 years younger than me. And
wow.
So I took him when he first came out to California, when he and my mother moved to California. I took him into a movie that was being made where he had to be made up as a baby gorilla all the time, and they glued hair on him and he hated it. So off the bat, when that movie was over and he was glad to be out of it, he said to me, he doesn't ever want to be in another movie. He wants to be a musician.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That's down my street too, you know?
Yeah.
So, I encouraged him. My wife put up some money to help him build his first studio, and this is when he was a teenager. And he paid her back, and he worked at it, and he got very good at it. He played, I told him, you know, he played bass, and he played guitar. And I said to him, if you're going to make music in today's world, learn keyboard, because all the emulators were just beginning to happen. And you could have a full orchestra sitting on your desktop. And
right.
He did that, he'd be in business. Well, he did do that, and he got very good at it, and he went to Pasadena City College, and he got a degree in his in music, and then he took courses outside of college for engineering. So he really did his homework. He got to be very good at it. He was in several bands and sometimes played in three and four, not quite on the same day, but at the same time. And one of them, called the Serps, was exciting enough that a producer came along, wanted to make that an album for them. And Judy, my wife is listening. Jeff Emmerich. Jeff Emmerich, who was an engineer for a lot of the Beatles tunes, and I know he did Abbey Road, and he did Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah.
So he was retired. He came out of retirement to record my baby brother, who was 25. So that was really exciting. Now, my brother wrote probably half the songs on that album, and the rest of the band wrote the others. And one of those days, they listened to the ancient Travis Pike Tea Party record, If I Didn't Love You, Girl, and they liked it. So the next time they saw Jeff Emmerich, they said, what do you think of this one? Should we record it? And he says, if you want to, we will. So Jeff Emmerich and my baby brother actually recorded If I Didn't Love You, Girl, and brought it out on what was the name of the record company, Judy?
Beck.
Beck Records, which immediately went bankrupt, but that has nothing to do with Adam. What does have to do with Adam is that a few years back he was stricken with MS.
Oh.
Now, that meant that was the end of his show career because he couldn't depend on himself. He couldn't stand up that long. He got tired, so on and so forth. But he's got it under control. I understand from talking to him that he really can't feel his legs, but he's learned how to, sort of like walk on stilts.
Oh,
and he
wow.
gets pretty good, and he runs his recording studio. Well, so now I've got a baby brother who's 22 years younger than me, and I'm turning into a real oldster. At the time, I was 69. And I said to him, I had bought all the equipment for my studio, and the friend I was going to make it with suddenly died of a heart attack, and now he doesn't take my calls. So I'm not sure he's still a friend.
Oh.
But anyway, so what I did is I decided that I would give it all to Adam, which was a very nice, generous kind of a thing to do, except that he had to upgrade the rest of his studio to go with it, which he did. And then the only hitch was, I said, look, one of the reasons I bought all this stuff was that my daughter said something to me about, you're getting old, and when you die, all your songs will die with you. And I said, yeah, I know. She said, well, that's not good. She said, you should demo them or something. Well, I learned very quickly, Adam and I don't do demos. We only do masters. And so Adam is the one who began doing all this music with me. We went through my back catalog of lyrics, and they usually had chords written above the lyrics because I used to have bands that were mostly guitarists. And everything you hear that isn't a guitar, or especially isn't a finger-picking guitar, that's basically, apart from a few conga drums and things, all I played on the recordings. I'd show him how the rhythm parts go, and I'd give him the guitar, and he'd go in the studio, and I'd push the buttons. So he'd be in the outer control room, I'd be in the control room, and we got the thing done. Well, he played everything. He was really good at it. So that was a joy. And then when we got to the bottom of the things I thought were important, he started fishing through old scores I'd written, and he wanted to know what they sounded like and so on. Well, I wanted to know, too. I didn't have an orchestra when I wrote them. So I wrote them from a book that I had bought at Cal Poly Pomona, the university, when I had to leave school because my GI Bill had expired. I didn't know they could do that, and they don't anymore. But back then, I hadn't taken advantage of it in time, and I got booted out of college because the GI Bill ran out.
Well, that's
right. I bought the books I needed, and I decided I'd teach it to myself at home. And I'm a pretty sharp character. So I got on it, and I did it. And now Adam starts digging out this stuff, and he says, this looks really interesting. And it was this piece that was, it's now called the Andalusian Bride Suite. And it was fine. All the parts, if you played them independently, they sounded really good, but there was no way to know where they went. And he said, what's this piece that says insert? Same thing as insert. But excerpt, as a matter of fact, it was an excerpt. He says, what is it an excerpt to and where does it go? And I said, I don't know, it's the song. I originally wrote it as a tone poem, and then I added the song and the lyrics to it. And so now we're looking at all these pieces of score, and we find another thing that's, 1, 2, and 3. And just about the same time, we both said, you don't suppose this is the introduction? And it was.
Yes.
So now we have the introduction and the song. So that's good. You got, something like 7 minutes of it or pretty close to it. And then there's all these other parts. And he says, so where does this go? And I said, I don't know. Let me hear it. Play it for me. I'll see if I can remember. And that's when we got into this ridiculous conversation that actually cracked me up. He said, why do all the parts start on page one? And I said, because that's the first page the guy plays. And he says, you've never heard of rests? I said, oh, you got to be kidding. I'm not going to do 12 pages of rests, and that's a waste of expensive orchestral paper and so on. And he says, you've never heard of letters. I said, what letters? And he says, well, you know, if you say Section A, then people know that they come in Section A, and you only have to put in the rests that have to do with that section. And when you come to Section B and you bring in the horns, then they start at Section B, and so they rest, and you don't have to write it down on a piece of paper. They know to come in Section B. Oh, it cracked me up. I had learned everything I could about the sounds of the instruments from the books and from records I bought, and I learned about the key signatures that they used, because some of them have very different key signatures from, you know, the normal run-of-the-mill key signatures. So anyway, but I'd skipped the chapter on letters. Cause I'm not doing letters. I'm doing music here. So that's how dumb I was. But it was a trip going through that music and trying to figure out where this came in. I said, you know, this, I'll bet you that piece that we listened to yesterday, I'll bet it goes right in here. And mind you, I got good at it. but we actually recorded that whole thing sort of by feeling for it and saying, well, it doesn't fit here, but it does fit there. Let's try it there. And the other thing he said to me is, you didn't name any of these instruments. I said, what do you mean I didn't name them? He said, well, you don't see, this is a great piece of music. It says page one. You got four pages looking at where it is, because he knows music better than I do. That looks like it's probably a horn part. I said, oh, well, put it on a horn. Let's see what it sounds like.
Yeah.
No, talk about pathetic. Yeah, well, I did finally learn how to, but I haven't done any since then. I mean, once we got the stuff that I had in that box finished, I was happy to stand away from it. But Adam is wonderful. Adam was purely just an inspiration. I have never worked with anyone, musician of any kind, who was as considerate, as patient, and as generous in all the things that he contributed to the project as my wonderful baby brother, Adam. What a fabulous experience it turned out to be.
That's great.
When I wrote the thank you letter to my mother.
That's great.
Well, you know where he probably learned that? It was from Jeff Emmerich.
Well, possibly, but he also went to school for it.
It's
and they
true.
Probably included the part about the letters where he went, you know.
Yeah.
Remember, I taught myself at home. And that chapter looked boring. I already knew the alphabet. You know?
We're talking to Travis Pike here on Animal Tracks on Blog Talk Radio. Listen to some of his music here on a Wednesday night.
And we're still talking. Okay.
I ain't no Cajun me, but I guarantee this song about a lugaroo loose in the bayou. Ooh, ooh. Make my skin crawl, and that's for true. French say lugaroo, Cajun say rugaroo, lugaroo, rugaroo, wolfman, werewolf, all the same thing. And that's bad news any which way, huh? Oh yeah. There's a little town near the bayou where everyone's hair gone white, from the lady with the ladle to the baby in the cradle. And you know that can't be right. No, you know that can't be right. When the moon come up on the bayou, them collars start getting tight. And even old Mama Sadie, the voodoo lady, starting shaking with fright. Why? She starts in shaking with fright. back in the bayou, but he come out on the moonlit night. When he on the prowl, you can hear him howl, clearly satisfy his appetite. Whoa, he satisfy his appetite. At night, the water black in the bayou, but red in the morning light. 'Cause when he get through what's led to you, feed them gators and they ain't polite. No, them gators just ain't polite. Their lookout ruined the bayou, and his fiery red eyes gleam bright. Women well and strong will spare when he out on the moonlit night. I don't go there, me. That's for true.
We're listening to Travis Pike here on Animal Tracks on Blog Talk Radio.
SRI Jazz is proud to present their newest release, This is Ray Brown Jr. That's right, Ella Fitzgerald's son continues to entertain audiences with his warm and charming vocals, making this one of the best vocal jazz albums of the year. Here are some sample tracks from the album. Visit our website to hear all of them in their entirety. Just go to srirecords.com or click on the banner in your media player now.
It's wonderful, marvelous. You should care for me. Awful nice paradise. What I love to see. My baby, when she walks by, all the fellas go, I know why. Simply 'cause that girl's so fine. If she'd ever leave me, I'd lose my mind. She's got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging. Sure he's mellow, glad that I'm a fella. And I know, 'cause she knocked me off my feet. Have mercy on me. I know for certain, one I love. I'm through with flirting. It's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love. For you must take the A-train to go to Sugar Hill, way up in Auburn.
You've been listening to a few sample tracks from the new album, This is Ray Brown Jr. You can hear all the songs in their entirety at srirecords.com. Support jazz music today at srirecords.com. Consideration provided by SRI Jazz.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz, and you're listening to my friends Cheryl and Larry Batson on Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk Radio.
Our guest, Travis Pike. And, Travis, we've got to play this because it's we've got to play. We've got to make sure we have enough time to listen to this. Do you know what one song I'm talking about?
No, are we talking about okay, there's two it could be. One of them is my 50th anniversary song to my wife called The Way That I... What the heck is it called, Judy?
Lovely Girl.
The Lovely Girl I Married.
That's right.
Day when your smile blew me away. side. Your hand in mine. We're together, and I don't ask for any more.
We're about to have our 50th anniversary in less than a month.
Good. And congratulations.
And what I'm doing for it, it's not a secret. I'm having a gold record made up to present to the lovely girl I married. And that'll
wow.
be part of our little celebration. And I expect that song is currently number 2 in my songs on YouTube from the various albums that were posted by CD Baby. And I'll bet after that anniversary that it'll go back to number 1.
It will.
An interesting thing about that song is that I played it during our solstice party last year for a bunch of friends that were here. And I'm looking around the room and half the women have tears coming down their face. Why are they crying? This is a beautiful song. This is about love and loyalty and all this good stuff. And you know what I learned? They cried because nobody ever wrote a song like that for them.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're making it difficult for all of us. Now,
No, all you got to do is buy it and give it to your girlfriend. Wife, of course.
Yeah, be careful.
Be careful with that. Well, that's a thought.
Good,
yeah.
What else did I send you? I'm curious now.
Oh, we've got one. Well, let's just kick it in and find out. Here's Travis Pike on Blog.
As far as I'm concerned.
Travis Pike rocking out here on Blog Talk Radio Animal Tracks. Wow, Travis.
Yeah, you know, I have to confess, I brought in a couple of ringers on that one. I did. John Dufresne came in and played that good old lead guitar for me. And he knew the old, he's old like me, he knew the old lick, you know, the famous old lick that went with that kind of song that sounds a lot like the 50s. And then we also brought in Chris Woodcock on sax, and he is a player. And the two of them, once they heard that song and the way it went, they just got into it. That was, I love hearing that. That's what the band I had in Germany sounded like, the Five Beats. And the only time I was able to get sounds like that here was when we did the Feeling Good, the Feeling Better album that was based on the seven songs I performed in the movie, the 1966 movie Feeling Good. And I think some of the best songs on that album are the newer ones or the ones that were overlooked at the time, and one of them was Rock and Roll. That's such fun to listen to.
It is.
Absolutely. And, of course, it's, you put a saxophone in there. My gosh, you just
love that.
Oh, yeah. That's
all my earliest bands here in the States, in the little high school band had a sax player. And then when I was in Germany and I started playing with the bands in Germany, they always had a sax player. When I came here to do the movie Feeling Good, I was still in and out of hospitals. I was in rehab getting my ankle grafted back together and all that kind of thing.
Oh.
By the way, I don't recommend because it's very painful. So don't break it in the first place and you'll be in better shape.
Yeah.
But anyhow, they hired a band for me for the songs that were supposed to be done in Feeling Good, and there was no saxophone player. And I thought that he was going to come in later or something and do parts. And I mentioned it to Arthur Korb, who had done the arranging and everything, and my father was in the booth, and he was the producer of the movie, so you figured I had everybody there I needed to have, and all I heard immediately from the booth was, this is the only session there is, you're on the clock, finish the songs.
Oh, well.
Okay, dokie, well, that's how they go. So, but when I did them with Adam, I asked him, do you know somebody? Because he's not a lead guitar player. He played lead guitar on a lot of those songs for me because he's a good bass player. But for those songs, I wanted an old hack. I wanted somebody, you know, closer to my age who'd actually played that kind of thing. And Adam knew two of them, and he brought them in. And I glory in what they did for me. They were sensational. The guitarist only played on two tunes, but the saxophone player, I think, played on six or seven of them. And
well,
everything did help.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. How do people get a hold of these CDs? Tell us, Travis.
Okay, well, first and foremost, everything that we've heard tonight is available on Amazon. And they're available both for downloads and for purchases of the CDs, which I would tend to recommend because, well, I don't know, nowadays people are used to listening to stuff in their telephone. Like I say, for me, it's kind of a new experience, but that's okay. But that's also where you can buy the new book. I wouldn't trust what they say. It's already up on Amazon. It says, you want it delivered in 2 days? Call in and do this. Well, as far as I know, it's going to take two more weeks before I get to see them. Maybe they got somebody in the back room who makes them locally. I don't know. But so the answer is Amazon is one place. If it's only the CDs and the music that you're interested in, you could also try CD Baby. Because those basically my stuff is sold online. And I've had some great reviews lately that just thrill me. Because my question was when I started doing this, can an old retread like me get any traction doing any of this stuff? And the answer was,
absolutely.
Yes, you could. I know you know Harvey Kubinick.
Yes, sir.
Because he's been on your show. And on the back of the album, it now says, one of the most unique musical journeys I've ever read, author Harvey Kubinick.
That's good. Yeah, Harvey's very cool.
And he's quite the writer.
Yeah, he's a writing machine. He's a factory in himself.
I know. I'm sort of an annex.
Yes. Yeah, he's Travis, what a wonderful show. It's such a pleasure to have you on with us tonight. This has been absolutely glorious.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and I have enjoyed it too. In the old days when I was doing a radio show, and I used to subscribe to that RDTV, whatever the initials were, radio TV report thing, I'd have like three or four questions that I said, ask me about this, ask me about that, and I'd be fully prepared, which is why when I got to talk to you, I said, you got any hints about where we're going that could help me?
We don't have a clue.
No.
We just sat around and chatted. I very much enjoyed every minute.
Yeah.
Well, that's how we do it.
It's in the moment.
Yeah, as Harvey would say, that's how you roll.
That's how you roll. Well, we rolled with Travis Pike tonight. We're going to finish off tonight with Old Mama by Travis Pike here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much, Travis.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz, and you're listening to my friends Cheryl and Larry Batson on Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk Radio.